This morning, God's word comes to us from the prophet Micah, Micah chapter 5. And we're going to be reading just the first five verses of this chapter. Micah chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's word. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we look outside today and we see no snow on the ground, children. The temperature forecast is to be near 50 today. It's easy to forget that Christmas is only 1 week away. Now, if we lived in Phoenix, this would be normal, okay? But in Northwest Iowa, we expect colder temps and we expect snow on the ground. It's easy to forget. In only 1 week, we will celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, to help us remember that and prepare for that, our Sunday school classes are going to give us a Christmas program reminding us of the coming of Jesus. And as I looked at those scriptures and songs they're going to be bringing to us, one of those is from Micah chapter 5. And I thought it might be appropriate for us this morning to look a little bit deeper into this text. Micah chapter 5, a text that on the surface we would not necessarily connect with Christmas. I think the reason we make the connection with Micah chapter 5 and Christmas is because that's what the gospel writer Matthew does for us. Remember the story in Matthew chapter 2 when these wise men came looking for Jesus. They went and they asked the king, "Where is he who's born king of the Jews?" And Herod knew nothing about this, so he asked the scribes, "Hey, look into this. Find out the answer for me. Where is this one supposed to be born?" And they look and they quote the prophet Micah. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written in the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler, and he will shepherd my people Israel.'" Matthew quotes, and those scribes quote from Micah as the prophecy for the coming of King Jesus. Now, if I asked you, children, where was Jesus born? Well, you'd be able to tell me. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We know that. We've grown up with that. But for them, that was a surprise. And there were many things surrounding Jesus' birth that were very surprising to them. So as we look at this text in Micah chapter 5, a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see a number of things that are unlikely, that are unexpected, that are unusual regarding the promise of this coming king. The text begins in verse 1. "Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops, siege is laid against us." What was going on when this text was being written? Why this call to arms? Why this call to muster the troops? This text is given to the people in Judah. Now remember that the people of Israel had kind of divided themselves into 10 northern tribes and the southern tribes. The northern tribes, the northern kingdom, Israel, had already by this time been taken away in captivity. In 722, the northern kingdom was taken away by Assyria, Samaria was sacked, and they took away the northern kingdom. But Judah, the southern kingdom, still exists. And Micah now comes to that southern kingdom, about 20 years later or so, and says, here's a warning. The same thing's going to happen to you. Assyria is going to come back. It's about 701 now, B.C. or so. Hezekiah is the king. Sennacherib is coming once again to lay siege to the people of Israel, to lay siege to the people of Judah, this southern kingdom who is remaining. It's a time of weakness in Judah. It's a time when they're under attack. It's a time when there's this call to arms because a great king, a great power is coming against us. And in this unlikely time, we hear the promise of a great king to come. They were sensing weakness. They were sensing frailty. They were sensing impending judgment and captivity. But this word comes even now. In this unlikely time, there's this promise of a coming king. The text says, a siege is laid against us. With a rod, they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. What's the picture being given to us by the prophet? Well, some of you know that I like to do martial arts in some of my free time. And when we teach people how to fight with each other, how to spar with each other, we teach them, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. That way you can block anything coming to your head. The picture here is of someone who is so weak and so frail, they can't even keep their hands up, and the enemy can come right up to them and strike them on the cheek with a rod. It's a picture of complete humiliation, complete devastation. A people so weak they can't even keep their hands up to protect themselves. A time of weakness. A time of frailty, a time when someone can come to their king and take a rod and strike him on the cheek without fearing retribution. An unlikely time for the promise of a king, a powerful king to come. And yet isn't that exactly the situation into which Jesus came? Did Jesus come at a time when his people were strong and were powerful? When Israel was once again reestablished and exerting its force over the rest of the nations? No, Jesus came when Rome was in control. When the world was in charge. When the people of Israel were under the subjection of Rome. A time of weakness, a time of frailty. A time when they had to do whatever the ruler said to them. And yet at this unlikely time, in this unlikely circumstance, Jesus comes. No wonder so many of them missed the significance of his coming. No wonder the wise men had to say, where is he who has been born? And they had to search to find the answer. They weren't expecting at this time a powerful king, a great ruler. It was a time of weakness for the people of God. A time not unlike the times we face today. We've talked before about where the power seems to be in the world today. The power seems to be held by Wall Street. The power seems to be held by those who are in Congress. The power seems to be held by our educational institutions. The power seems anywhere but the church. The church seems somewhat weak, somewhat frail, insignificant. If we talk about the movers and shakers in society today, would the church even make the list? And yet it is to this place, in this situation, that Jesus Christ comes and demonstrates his power. It is in this unlikely situation that he comes to rule as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. It is here where the gospel is proclaimed. a gospel that doesn't just teach good people how to be better, but a gospel that declares that those who are dead come to life in Christ. That's power. That's greatness. That's glory. Wall Street and the government cannot match the power of Jesus Christ active in His church. Even though it seems an unlikely situation, an unlikely time for Him to come, we celebrate the coming of the King of Kings, the coming of the Lord of Lords, the one who may come to an institution that seems insignificant by the world's standards, but a place where God has said, there My name shall dwell, and there My power shall be manifest to the world around. In fact, that's exactly evidence of the power of God. The church is significant. We are weak. We are fallible people. But God powerfully, actively works through us to do wonderful and great things beyond what we could imagine. It's an unlikely situation. But God comes today and dwells by His Spirit in His church and moves that church forward. A powerful force for Him. Our text says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for Me one who will be ruler in Israel. From you, Bethlehem, an absolutely unexpected location for the birth of a king. Bethlehem was not a powerful, bustling city. Bethlehem was small. Bethlehem was insignificant. Into this insignificant little town, the king will come forth. You know, we might say if we were expecting the next governor of Iowa to be born somewhere in northwest Iowa, we'd say, well, maybe he'll come from Sioux Center. Maybe he'll come from Orange City. No, he's going to come from Dune, okay? That's what he would be like. Bethlehem, smallest, the least, an unexpected location for a powerful king to be born. You, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are too little among the clans of Judah. When the map makers made maps back then of the area of Judah, they didn't even put Bethlehem on the map. They skipped it. But from this insignificant, unexpected place would come the King of Kings. You see, when we hear, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth a ruler in Israel, we hear Jesus. We hear that allusion to Jesus. What did they hear? What did they hear when they were told, from Bethlehem will come a king? Well, they would hear echoes of the past, of another king who came from Bethlehem. And you know who that was, children? That was King David. Remember the story of when David was anointed? How Samuel came and he was told to anoint a king over God's people, and so he goes to Bethlehem and to the house of Jesse, and how he is going to anoint the king from one of Jesse's sons. And the sons begin to parade in front of Samuel. And the first one comes and Samuel says, oh, certainly this is the one. No, God says, that's not the one. The next one comes by. Oh, certainly this is the one. No, that's not the one. And son after son after son come by until finally all the sons have gone through. And Samuel says, isn't there any more? Well, Jesse says, well, there's one more. But he's out in the fields. He's taking care of the sheep. The least likely place you would find a king to be anointed, serving as the shepherd over the sheep. And yet that was God's choice. They would hear Bethlehem and they would think of King David. King David, when things were best with God's people. King David, when they talked about the good old days, they talked about the days of King David. where he ruled righteously, where he ruled justly, where he was a man after God's own heart, the one who ruled over God's people with love and care, like a shepherd watching over them. From Bethlehem, from the city of David, will come a king. And so we see how beautifully Jesus fulfills the Old Testament prophecy. One who comes in the line of King David. One who comes as the greater descendant of King David. And one who is born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. One who would be known as the shepherd of his people, the good shepherd who would care for and watch over them. Jesus comes in an unlikely place, Bethlehem, the smallest, the least. You know, today, the world, as much as possible, wants to marginalize the church, wants to ignore the church and ignore Christianity. But I'm always struck, particularly this time of year, that no matter how much the church wants nothing to do with the things of God, it cannot help, the world cannot help but recognize something happened a long time ago. Even the world recognizes Christmas. Now, they might not recognize the full significance of that, and they think it has to do with Santa Claus and other things, but the realities just keep seeping through. They can't ignore something fantastic took place so many years ago in an unexpected location. Even the world recognizes that. Now, it's our obligation to bring the truth of that story to them. It's our obligation to take the trappings around us of Christmas and celebration and direct their thoughts and minds toward the true nature of Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ, the child who would shepherd his people. There are unexpected locations where the message of the gospel comes through. As we're waiting in line at Walmart and someone asks us, are we prepared for Christmas? And what are we doing for Christmas this year? And other than just telling them, well, we're spending time with family and friends, we tell them we are gathering together to, as the body of Christ, reflect upon the coming of our Lord. We're gathering together on the Lord's Day to worship the newborn King. And in unexpected locations, in unexpected places, we may share the gospel of Jesus Christ in our workplaces, where perhaps someone who has never asked us before about anything of God will ask us about Christmas, will ask us what our plans are. And in these unexpected locations, we have the opportunity for sharing the good news. I love the television shows that surround Christmas time. And kids, I love to watch Frosty the Snowman, and I love to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But my favorite one is A Charlie Brown Christmas. That is my favorite Christmas show. It's a great show that Charlie Brown is feeling bad, and he's given this task of doing a Christmas play with his friends, and he's sent out to find a great Christmas tree, and he comes back with his little twig, and then he puts an ornament on it, and he thinks he kills the tree, and Charlie Brown is feeling so bad, and the play is going badly, and finally, Charlie Brown yells out, "Isn't there anyone who can tell me the true meaning of Christmas?" And his little friend, Linus Van Pelt, walks onto the stage and begins to recite Luke 2. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you.'" On public television waves across the country, the true message of Christmas. An unlikely place to find the truth of Jesus Christ. Will we declare that same truth this year May it not be that our mouths are an unlikely place. May it not be that our words are an unlikely location to hear the true story of Christmas. But as God grants us opportunity, may we open our mouth and share the truth of Jesus Christ, the one who was born in Bethlehem, small among the clans of Judah, but from where would come forth a ruler over Israel, a ruler who would reign in a most marvelous, unexpected, and unusual way. How does Micah describe this ruler? Verse 4, he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. He shall stand and shepherd his flock. Again, these beautiful allusions back to David, the shepherd of the sheep. What does a shepherd do, children? A shepherd cares for the sheep. A shepherd provides for the sheep. A shepherd guides and directs the sheep. A shepherd lives with the sheep. What a beautiful picture of the reign of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, who did not simply for eternity enjoy the glories of heaven, but who for the sake of his sheep, for the sake of his people, came down from heaven. And he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He lived among us. That he might know our burdens, our cares, our sorrows. That he might be tempted like us in every way. And yet him without sin. The perfect shepherd who knows the sheep, who cares for the sheep. The shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's the rule of this great king. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He will be a king of power, a king of strength, the strength of the Lord. We think of King David. King David was a man of power. King David was the one who as a boy would kill a lion and a bear when they attacked the sheep. David would be the one who would go against Goliath, this Philistine champion, and overcome him in the power of the Lord. When Jesus Christ comes, he is even beyond the strength of David. For he doesn't simply go against a lion or a bear or even against the giant Goliath, but Jesus faces Satan himself and defeats the power of Satan, overcomes all of his plans, and perfectly fulfills the will of God for salvation. And he does that in the most unusual way. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, subdues Satan by offering himself up to death. Who would have imagined? The King will sustain the victory by himself being killed. And yet that's exactly what Christ does for us. He comes and defeats the power of Satan. He overcomes the forces of our sin by offering himself up to death on the cross. And in that most unusual method for securing salvation, he gives us life. That's the wonderful story we have to bring. Yes, it's a story about Jesus who was born in a manger in this small town in the ancient Near East, this small town Bethlehem. But we can never fully understand Christmas unless we connect it with Good Friday and Easter. This baby that was born would grow to be a man. And he would be offered up on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. And after being laid in the grave, he would rise again to new life, a picture of our new life, a picture of that new life that God continues to promise all who put their faith in him. That same glorious message we bring today, that for all who bow the knee to this King Jesus, Your sins will be washed away, no longer under sentence of death, but now the promise of life and life everlasting, secured by the strength of the Lord, secured by His power and by His majesty. The text says, He will stand, He will shepherd His people in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, the Lord of His Lord His God, and He shall be their peace. He Himself shall be their peace. He is the one who comes to secure peace between God and man. A righteous, holy, just God, an unholy, sinful man, and Jesus Christ comes and perfectly secures peace, not simply by brokering an agreement, but by Himself taking on the sins of the people, taking all the punishment for them, and being securing that peace then with God through His death and resurrection. Because of His perfections, we have peace. He is the one who is the peace of His people. Christ who comes and reigns and rules and is glorious, but in a most striking, wonderful, majestic, and unexpected way, this King who offers Himself to death is brought back again to life and now lives eternally to reign over His people by His Spirit now dwelling with them. He has not left us. The shepherd is not gone. But He has given His Spirit to His people to dwell in us and remind us of that peace we have with our God and Father. Jesus Christ comes. We have the promise of this coming King. The promise comes at an unusual time, a time of weakness, a time of frailty, a time of siege, a time when they can strike the king on the cheek. Perhaps for some of us this Christmas season, it's a time of weakness. We are feeling overwhelmed. Things are not going well at our homes, in our jobs. It's a time where we wonder, is God really still in control? It is into times of weakness that He comes to manifest His strength, to uphold us by the power of His Spirit in unlikely situations. He comes at unexpected locations. He comes through the words of a friend. He perhaps even comes from the words from the pulpit, to encourage us, to strengthen us, that He is the King who will shepherd His people, who loves them so much, that He, through His death, would secure our life and be our peace. May that be our celebration of Jesus, the coming King. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You and praise You for the Word You have given to us. For we know that Your Word will continue to point us to Jesus Christ. We thank You that already back in the prophets, that they spoke beyond what they could ever fully understand in giving us these glorious words. Oh Lord God, may our celebration this year truly be a celebration of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. May we rejoice in what He has done. And may we, as His loving servants, follow after Him with obedience, praising Him and worshiping Him for the goodness He's bestowed upon us. O Lord God, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.